C1G.
Number 15A.
Well, we have taken the 7 days of creation from various angles and have been considering how these days of creation first give an ascending thought, rising from the first day to the last day. We have seen that if we take another standpoint, that we can see that at the fifth day of creation, the days of creation become numerals of infinity, and that if we take the fifth day as numerals of infinity, then the sixth day is showing us the calculus of these numerals. Therefore, we have seen that the sixth day contains intertwined in the text also the four sides of the holy city, Word as Word, Christ as Christ, Christianity as Christianity, the science as science, giving us a terrific operative sense of truth. Now, we can look at these 7 days of creation still from a higher standpoint, namely from the standpoint of life, truth, and love. This was already indicated, as you remember, at the beginning of the days of creation with Genesis 1:1, where actually the text starts out with that very high sense of consciousness on the level of science itself, where we began to see really that the infinite has no beginning, that the term beginning actually only means the only, is employed just to bring out the term only. Then Mrs. Eddy shows how that one and only can be seen as embracing the whole universe, and so translated it to the level of divine science, where she could say that it shows the eternal verity and unity of God and man, inclusive the universe. So we had a sense of the all-inclusiveness of divine science. And then she translated it to the level of absolute Christian science as the creative principle, life, truth, and love, and showed that that creative principle, life, truth, and love, is reflected in its creation. So that from that standpoint we can see that life, truth, and love, which we know from the four level books, that that is symbolizing really the Word in absolute Christian science. So that that Word in the absolute Christian science is the impelling power that brings into being the 7 days of creation. So the 7 days of creation are not so much an ascending sense, but primarily it is life, truth, and love impelling that ascending sense. So it's quite a difference. If we look at the 7 days of creation, so to say, from a human standpoint, and think these are days of spiritual ascension, and I have to follow these days of spiritual ascension, which is a very positive thing to do, which from the human standpoint, those 7 days of creation therefore would say, I have to turn to mind. That's the beginning of everything. That mind says, turn to the one mind, and therefore let there be light. I turn to the one mind instead of to my own human opinion. From the human standpoint, we see then that we have to separate ideas from illusions, that we have to make that distinction what are the ideas and what are illusions, and therefore turn only to ideas and separate ourselves from illusions, put, so to say, first things first, put ideas first. That's all the tone of spirit, of separating, and so that as we do that, that little by little, really these ideas become definite within our consciousness, the dry land appears, these ideas take on some kind of form, they crystallize, they gather identity, and something very clear-cut unfolds out of that attitude. Still, from the human point of view, when we see the clear idea in its identity being brought out and revealed, we cannot stop there. We must see that these ideas are an idea in principle, in the fourth day. So we have to set them into the firmament. We have to bring them back into principle and see these ideas are not my ideas. These ideas are principle's ideas. And so we make these ideas that have come to us impersonal and see that they only operate if I see that they are ideas of principle and put them right back into the firmament of heaven. And let principle use these ideas. That implies, still from the human standpoint, that implies in the fifth day that I lay down all my false concepts about the problem. I lay down the human sense of that problem and see that I have to soar above that problem into the open firmament of heaven and see that principle operates through this idea as a living concept, as a living idea. Even then, I cannot stop. Even then, I have to go to the sixth day, still from the human point of view, and must see that these ideas have dominion, the sixth day, so that they bring out the power that they are governing the universe, that they have dominion over all the earth. And only when I begin to see that, the seventh day somehow is awakened within me and I feel some kind of peace and rest. And I feel, this is it. And so I come to the solution. So, can you see, we can look at the 7 days of creation from that human standpoint, but actually what the text says is that we should look at them from the standpoint of absolute Christian science. From that authority which is God, which is the decretive principle, life, truth and love. So if we flow through the 7 days of creation the way the Bible teaches it and the way Mrs. Eddy explains it, that naturally demands that we arise out of a metaphysical approach to the scientific standpoint where we let the synonymous term operate as the 7 days of creation. What is the impact of life, truth and love on the 7 days of creation? So we can see some kind of a law operating between really the level of absolute Christian science, as the Word, and the level of Christian science, as the Word. Because on the level of absolute Christian science, the Word says, I'm life, truth and love. On the level of Christian science, the Word says, I'm mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. Now these two standpoints are distinct from each other, but they are not separate from each other. They are intertwined, they are interlinked, And when we consider this interlinking and intertwining of two levels, of two laws, the law of life, truth and love, and the law of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, which is the creative law, if we interlink them, we get what we call a law of interdependence. And law of interdependence of here, of the word in absolute Christian Science, interdependent with the word in Christian Science. If we think this is theoretical or academic, or if we think we make these things up, we are mistaken. They are the very law that operate, among others, in the days of creation, but that also operate in Jesus' life as shown by Matthew. Both the days of creation and the whole story of Jesus in Matthew have the same law beneath their life, or beneath their illustration, and it just shows that there is an eternal law of interdependence in the world. How is that being shown in the days of creation? And in order to show that, we have this Appendix 2 that you have in front of you. And there you see the day, really, of life, truth and love, where every day of the 7 days is a day of life, truth and love, because life, truth and love are the impelling power, the impelling law, the impelling authority that brings about each day of creation. You see there on the top that we have the column, the days of creation. Then the next column is life, the creative life. Then truth, the factual, and then finally love, the fulfilled. Now let me just talk a little bit first about that law of life, truth and love. You see, in the world, in absolute Christian Science, these three synonymous terms do not mean three successive stages. Life leading to truth, truth leading to love. On the level of absolute Christian Science, these three are not a sequence, they are much more a chord that happen at the same time, that you are aware of in one go. Therefore, they form, so to say, a triune sense of a law. What is that law? It is really the law of life, which is the creative impulsion. Life here has the tonality of the urge of life, has here the tonality of the spontaneity of life, the creative sense of life. It has to do with that spontaneity of life, with the well of life, which says at every moment I want to project everything out into being. That life is in itself truth. It doesn't lead to truth. It's in itself also truth. It is the factual. It is the factuality of being. Therefore, which says that impulsion of life is always right. It is a right impulsion. It is a true impulsion. It is really the right form of impulsion. Nothing is wrong about that impulsion of life. And love says to that life, that life which constantly impels its creation, which is always right in its impulsion, carries already within itself the tone of love, namely a, fulfilled and complete well of life. So that life here at the point of love always shows that that impulsion carries within itself the whole plan of love, the whole fulfillment of love, the whole perfection of love. Or you can see that it is therefore life, truth and love, a terrific impulsion that is by its own nature right, and that is by its own nature love. That means that it's by own nature always perfect and plain fulfilling and goal directed. So it gives a terrific impact that there is a law at work which, so to say, compels creation to come into existence, to call creation into existence and into being. This law of life, truth and love naturally is a law of God. Therefore it's something that goes on no matter if we are aware of it or not. See, whereas when I have shown you the 7 days of creation about 10 minutes ago, from the human standpoint, it was always something that went on in my consciousness, in my thinking, in my decision, and therefore was a human approach. Whereas if we consider Genesis really from that place value that it has within the textbook, then we have a different standpoint. Then we take the standpoint of the one being that says, I am the impelling force, the impelling authority. I impel creation, and I impel a true creation, and then I impel a perfect creation, life, truth, and love. This is something that would correct in our consciousness the very opposite consciousness, the very opposite standpoint, because innate in our consciousness we find the very opposite of it. We seem to go through life with a counterfeit of life, truth and love. We go through life with an attitude, can I make it? The counterfeit of life, because life says, I impel creation. We go through life not only with a sense, can I make it? We go through life and say, do I know what is right, what I make? We doubt the truthfulness of what we do, if it's on the nature of truth. And we go through life not only with a sense, can I make it? Will it be right what I do? But also with the counterfeit of love, namely that we doubt that it will lead anywhere, that our whole life really will find fulfillment. Without that, we mistrust it, or we are not even interested in it. So can you see, we touch here really a deep-seated law that is the answer to a very deep-seated false attitude, the counterfeit of life, truth and love. Now, if we really go out from the Infinite One and from divine science, which does not know anything about error, then we can let life, truth and love operate for us. And that life, truth and love operates by itself. When one looks through the Bible, one always finds somehow in some kind of illustration that law of life, truth and love expressed. For instance, when Job said, for he performeth life, the things, truth, that is appointed for me, that is really adapted for me, love. Can you see the strong law has in the Old Testament already been somehow recognized, that they could see there is a God that is life. He performs something. What does he perform? All the things in my life. All the things in my life. Truth. And he performs all these things in my life which is appointed for me, which is goal-directed, which has purpose, which has sense, which makes sense, which has a meaning, which has an aim. It's always goal-directed for me. Or we can take Psalms. In Psalms we read, the Lord will. Can you see? It's the will of life, the urge of life, the impulsion of life. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. So the Lord will do all that which concerns me, and will perfect, make perfect all that which concerns me. So then we can really understood what Paul said to the Philippians when he said, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will, life, and to do," the factuality of it, truth, "of his good pleasure," love. Always to do what is good. And you have, again, that law of life, truth, and love explained there. Or when he says to the Philippians, "He which has begun a good work in you," you have again the creative sense, impelling sense, beginning, "He that has begun a good work in you will perform it," he will do it, he makes it factual. And how long does it make it factual? Until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a biblical rendering, as to say, until the day of perfection. So always in some kind of a way, we find here a terrific law, which we could also call the law of success, so that we can see there is always an impelling law, life, that does the right thing, truth, and always leads to a fulfillment, to an end, to a success, love. So that we can see in being that law of success is constantly at work. Sometimes I call it the success mechanism of being, that law of life, truth, and love, because one can see then that actually man is programmed for success. That is embedded in being. That there is only one law about man there, namely the law of success. That we are, so to say, programmed for victory. So, if we have that tone, then we can see that it is not we that is are going to create something and bring about something. It's not we that are a genius because we bring out something new, but that we are only the transparency of an eternal, divine law at work. You know, Amisiseri said at the beginning of the sixth chapter in the textbook that he said in the year 1866, "I discovered the laws of life, truth, and love." And I think there she indicated that she actually discovered that there is in being an eternal law at work that is always programming man for success. And now if we take that and say, therefore, that is the impelling power in being, and see that that translates itself to the level of the word in Christian Science, namely to mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, then we can see that it is always life, truth, and love impelling mind. That's the first day. That is life, truth, and love impelling spirit, the second day. Life, truth, and love impelling soul, the third day, and so on. So that through the 7 days always run that law of life, truth, and love, bringing about the ordered creation, creation in mathematical order, in the word order. If we take this appendix 2, we can quickly run through the whole first record of creation and can see how each day, even in the biblical symbolism, brought out that law of interdependence between the Word in absolute Christian Science and the Word in Christian Science. So to every day you have there the three columns, life, the creative, and you just have that tonality within your ear, in the spiritual ear, that creative life means the urge of life, the impulsion of life, the drive of life, infinite well of life that always pours out and pours out and pours out. And in your spiritual ear you hear truth that says to that life that what you do, life, is always right, is a fact, it's factual. And love always says to that activity, this is a complete activity, a whole activity, it's whole, it's perfect, it's fulfilled, it is glorious, it has that sense of the glory of love.